This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends off. Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are at home to take on the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We're taking you up to Patriots and Niners, 8:20 Eastern kickoff time here in Foxborough. And guys, what could be the
I'm just
game
glad
of the year
you showed up
in the NFL. Why?
Considering
why is
you're
that
such
now?
A big timer
why,
now
why
with
is
your
that?
Own radio show on a real station.
There's no radio show as of yet.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well,
I'm hearing Adam Jones is going to be on the flagship of the New England Patriots, 98.5 The Sports Hub, with his own show.
May or may not be the case.
Big time. Apparently, they didn't listen to this
show. May or may not be the case. See, I was going to say the opposite. I think this show was the linchpin.
Well, you know.
It was in the Globe. And
Adam, turn your mic on. Adam, turn your mic on. Before you talk to guests, turn your mic on.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're listening to... There it is. When you're solo, you know, you can turn your mic off and no one notices. No one has anything.
No one calls you on it.
Right.
Or when you work with true professionals, they don't call you on it. But when I'm around.
And it is Patriots and Niners, however, here tonight.
You don't want to talk about yourself,
Foxborough? No, you know, I think the listeners want to hear about the game.
Well, they're just happy you're gone.
Well, that's true. That is true. Sooner.
They're dialing up Rook to see if we can get him
sooner,
back.
Sooner rather than later. You know, there might be no Adam Jones on the Dunkin' Donuts.
No, congratulations.
Sucky.
We're very excited about it.
Yes.
I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate it.
And yes, now we can talk about this massive game.
Now we can talk about the massive game.
Because for the second week in a row, I'm really excited, and now I'm just hoping this one actually lives up to my excitement, unlike last week.
Here's what I'm wondering, and I wanted you guys both to weigh in on this. When we're talking about this potentially being the game of the year, there was similar hype to last week's game against the Texans. So
a lot of people thought this was AFC Championship preview, Super Bowl preview, back-to-back weeks potentially for the Patriots.
In your view, this Niners team, how does it stack up compared to that Texans team?
I think defensively, I think a lot of people thought the Texans defense was really good, and then they watched it and they came away saying, ooh, that's not very good. That was overhyped, blah, blah, blah. And if you thought that defense was good, this is, no pun intended, that defense on steroids. This is 10 times better. I think every level is better, more physical, more violent. It's more, you know, it's not just JJ Watt. It's Justin Smith and Alden Smith. It's, you know, that defense doesn't even have Cushing, but it's Willis and Bowman. I mean, at every level, they have guys that can knock the bleep out of you. And that to me is the big difference. The physicality. This isn't a scheme-based defense. We're not blitzing. We're not doing all this. This is, we're going to strap it on. You're going to strap it on. And I'm going to knock you into next Tuesday. And I think that's the big difference. Offensively, who knows? Because no one knows. Jim Harbaugh doesn't know. He put in a new quarterback a month ago, so he doesn't know what they can be. Similar in that they want to run the ball and establish the run and work off of that with Frank Gore, who's having a better year than Arian Foster. But to me, when you talk Niners, you start defense, physical, up front.
Yeah, and I think that in addition to all the stuff that Andy said about the Niners' defense, that what really impresses me is how little they have to sub. You know, they're able to keep the same guys on the field and play in different ways. They can play physically and play against the run-oriented team, and they can play, you know, spread out a little bit and defend, you know, a diverse passing attack. Now,
it's kind of that Bill Belichick thing, you know, when you have 11 guys, you just, you know, line up, cover
absolutely.
Two.
Now, they haven't 50, seen a passing attack like the Patriots. They played Green Bay, but that was way, way back in week one, you know, a lifetime ago. So they haven't seen a passing attack that's clicking the way the Patriots is right now. So be a great matchup of best against best.
Along those lines, who hasn't seen the other? Who's more likely to have their eyes opened? The San Francisco defense saying, wow, you know, we've played some good offenses. But that Tom Brady, that Wes Welker, that's a really good offense. Or is it the Patriots offense that's going to say, We've played some pretty good defenses, some guys that like to hit, but wow, they just knocked us on our can.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a defense that compares to San Francisco's.
I'm talking about going back years and years. I don't know when the Patriots played a defense that's as good and as physical as the Niners. You look at it across the board, they do everything. You know, that's what I was talking about. No scheme. There's no trickeration or scheme or, as Paul says, you know, you're not going to catch them in the wrong personnel package because basically they're just going to leave their personnel
right.
on the
they're
field
not,
and say,
not taking Patrick Willis off, you
know,
on third down.
It's sort of the anti-Patriots. Yeah. It's you know, we're just going to line up and our athletes are all pro athletes that are better than yours. Good luck.
Now, the most points they gave up this year, 26, against the New York Giants. You mentioned that Green Bay game, which they won in week one, 30-22. So, I don't know, when you're talking about what they've done, and maybe they haven't seen, they being the Niners, you know, this type of offense either, but when you're talking about how you project the game, at least the way the Niners play defense, you're not looking at a 30-point game tonight out of the Patriots offense, at least given the track record that we've seen out of that defense. When you look at that Niners defense, where are they susceptible?
I think the corners. And unfortunately, now I know they've talked, you know, Carlos Rogers may match up with Wes Welker. Be interesting to keep an eye on that matchup. I think that's a matchup Welker can win. But I think their corners are, you look at their safeties, you look at their linebackers, you look at their defensive line. To me, those are all good / elite in today's NFL. I think corners, the only problem with that is it's not exactly the strength of the Patriots offense outside the number. You know, maybe Brandon Lloyd can have another big game and make some plays down the field. But, you know, the strength of this passing game is more internal towards the numbers, and that's where those safeties and linebackers come into play. But I think if you're going to make plays, I think the best place to do it would be outside the numbers.
And I think over the top, you know, to just piggyback on Andy's point. Last week, I think you saw, dictated by the matchups, the Patriots took more deep shots than they normally do. And, you know, some were successful, some weren't. They had two long touchdowns, one to Lloyd, one to Stallworth. And I think that's how you kind of have to take your shots against it. Because if you allow them to sort of get underneath and do all the stuff that Andy talks about and get those linebackers involved, start hitting guys and start knocking balls loose, and I think that they can get on you in a hurry. I think you have to try to loosen them up a little bit, and I would be surprised. I don't think Golson and Whitner, I think, are good safeties, but they're very physical and fast. I think that they can be beat over the top with their over. I think they can, especially Whitner, I think can be guilty of over aggressiveness. And the Patriots know him very well from his days in Buffalo. I think they know how to attack him a little bit. So it'd be interesting to see how they go about this. But I think you got to get over the top of this defense a little bit, Adam.
When you look at the Niners offense, and we know the quarterback change that's been well publicized from Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick, what's different about that Niners offense now that he's back there?
Well, I think the edge runs from the quarterback. You know, Alex Smith is a good athlete. Colin Kaepernick is a runner. He's a guy that ran throughout college, put up huge numbers. I forgot the exact numbers, but he did things that no other quarterback
like
had really done.
10,000 passing yards and 4,000 rushing yards.
Whatever that was, you know, did things that no one else really had done. He is like, you know, a Cam Newton. You know, when they run that read option or any of their various option plays off the edge, he's a guy, as we've seen the last couple of weeks, can go 50 yards, you know, can make people miss. And I think that's the biggest difference. I don't think he's thrown the ball overly well. I know his numbers are fine, but I just look at his motion, and I don't know what it is about it that I don't like. But to me, he's not a fluid passer that you say, this guy's going to pick us apart. And that's not what they want. You know, they're only going to ask him to throw the ball 20, 23 times a game. You know, they're hoping that it's Frank Gore, it's him running it a little bit, and then, you know, you'll throw these 20 passes and our defense is going to keep us in it. It's low scoring. You know, they want to control the game, but even within the confines of that, I don't think he's a great thrower. The issue is if you give up contain, if you let him get to the outside, and the Patriots don't do that a lot. They in my opinion, over recent years, have always done a pretty good job containing athletic quarterbacks. We saw a little bit from Vic in the preseason where Chandler Jones just bit like crazy coming down and got on the outside. But, I mean, that's preseason. That's a long time ago. Chandler Jones, different player now. But to me, that's the challenge of Kaepernick, is the athleticism that can keep plays alive and make big plays down the field.
Yeah, I believe that the difference is what Andy talked about with the edge running and the dynamic nature that he brings. But on the field, there has been no difference. They're the same team. They still want to run the ball with Frank Gore. I'm a fan of this move. I think Harbaugh did the right thing. I think potentially he's gone to a quarterback that offers more than the one he had. And that's a hard thing to do when that guy's played well. So I recognize that what he did was not an easy thing, and I think it was the right move. That said, the first game that he played, the Monday night game against Chicago that we were all wowed by, is the exception. Every other game, he's sort of been handoff, you know.
Break off a 50-yard run.
Run here or there, but play it close to the vest. Let our defense do it. Let's play field position. Let's play close, you know. Let's not take any chances. Let's not be risky with the football. I don't think you can beat the Patriots that way. And I think you're going to need to do it a different way if you want to have success against New England and some of the better offenses.
He's Paul Perillo alongside Adam Jones, Andy Hart here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on Patriots.com. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches, Andy, are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today, America.
Maybe we should. We have a visitor in the studio from Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe we should bring him in and ask him what that special sauce is they put on that sandwich that I like
that
so much.
That threw you completely out of whack last
tremendous.
Week. Yeah, whatever that was.
I don't think he's listening to
no
me.
No more of that for Andy. No more of that sauce for Andy. That would be my vote here on the pregame social.
And don't call it special sauce. That creeps people out.
But beyond this Niners team and looking at the Patriots for tonight, we know Rob Gronkowski hasn't been ruled out. What do you expect his status to be for this game?
Out. Yeah, I don't expect him to play. I know it's been a discussion all week. He practiced on Friday as a walkthrough. Mm-hmm. It was a glorified walkthrough. And I just wouldn't see the reason to rush him back. I could understand the logic if he were healthy, you know, against a physical front, you'd want your best blockers. He's one of your best blockers. Nate Solder could certainly use some help over there with Justin Smith and Alden Smith on that edge. But I don't think you want to just throw Rob Gronkowski out there and coming off a broken arm, in which he broke his arm blocking on a PAT. And I also think he would have practiced more than once last week if he were planning on playing. Now, we had reports from our friends over at Comcast that he was one of the first arrivals here at the stadium, like 3 o'clock or something. I'm guessing that's just to get some sort of treatment, and I'm guessing even to get his treatment done before the actual guys that are going to play get in the training room. I'm guessing that's not a coincidence that he was here extra early.
So let me ask you, Paul, if we think he's going to be out, what does it mean that he practiced on Friday? What's the timetable for his return?
Well, he's getting closer. I think that what you've seen with the other guys that have been out for extended times is they come back to practice on a limited basis, and then the following week they're truly questionable. And I think that's what they did with Hernandez. I think that's what they did with Edelman with a thumb,
mm-hmm.
Before this latest injury that knocked him out for the season. And I think that's what they're going to do right now with Gronkowski. I think next week they might further evaluate that. Now, it also could change depending on what happens in the game. I don't think he'll play tonight, but if they lose the game tonight, then you're looking at, you know, having to rely on Denver to lose a game. And maybe now you say, well, I don't want to rush him back when I'm not guaranteed. I don't control it. I'm not guaranteed it on my own. So just to me, the only thing that matters with Rob Gronkowski, he's got to be fully healthy. Why would you play him unless he's fully healthy until the playoffs? Now, I can understand if he was, 75% in the playoffs. There's no tomorrow. If he can get out there and you're reasonably certain that he's going to be okay, you play him. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense to me.
And you mentioned Denver. They hammered Baltimore earlier today, 34-17. So if the Patriots do fall in any of these three games and Denver wins out, you'll be looking up at the Broncos in the standings despite your head-to-head win over Denver. So that game certainly looms large in terms of the AFC playoff standings. Before we get to the phones, 508-298-0398 and the emails to webradio@patriots.com, wanted your thoughts on this as well. Why do the Patriots have just 52 guys on their game day roster? What's the story there?
That's a great question.
What's your theory?
That's why you got your own show. You ask questions like that, you'll go a long ways in this business.
Well, I want the theories, though.
You're probing.
What are your theories?
I don't have any. That's why I'll stay in this room and I won't get a gig.
So you don't have a guess on why they would do 52?
I really don't. I mean,
can they promote someone last second?
I don't believe you can promote from the practice squad day of game.
So in other words, it's 52 and they're going to have 6 inactives tonight.
Yeah. I mean, if the guy's not going to play, if you know he's just going to be inactive, you're wasting salary cap money. I mean, that's the only thing I'll say is you're wasting, 1/17 of $385,000. I don't know how close they are to the cap. I don't believe they're overly close where they're going to start worrying about that at this point. But, if there's no chance for a guy to play, and I think sometimes we look at those as pats on the back, here, get a game check, you've worked hard on the practice squad, and you don't really have anybody that you feel like deserves that promotion, that pat on the back. You save, You know, even though it's not that much money, you save it. You don't eat it away at your cap. You might need it later.
And they don't have a lot of guys that I wouldn't think that are game-time decisions in terms of health. You know, Gronkowski is...
Well, they do have 19 guys who are 50-50.
I know, but you know, in terms of health...
I thought 50-50 meant you could go either way.
Wow.
He must have had another one of those sandwiches. He must have had one of those sandwiches.
Maybe. I just want a quick update from Twitter. Okay. You can always join us.
Gronkowski's in full uniform. And
no.
Okay.
Hashtag PPGS if you want to join in. And Lawyer Malloy getting ready to live tweet for Sunday Night Football NBC. And I retweeted their announcement of that. And he replied to me, PPGS? Question mark?
The highly rated Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame show. Lawyer Malloy clearly not quite a fan yet. I'm sure he'll be on our side.
Can I tell you my quick Lawyer Malloy favorite story
Please,
of all time about
yeah.
myself?
By all means.
Back when I was an intern in PR in 2001, you know, doing various things in the locker room, in and out all year, mm-hmm. at the Super Bowl, I believe he was going to a press conference. I don't know. I was in like a limo or a car with him, and he looks over, he goes, "Why are you always so serious all the time?" And I was thinking, boy, if people could hear that story now, me serious all the time. You know, I was an intern, probably just going with the whole, you know, keep my mouth shut and do nothing.
Why is your head so big?
did you know this guy?
Hey.
Were you and Perillo a tandem at the time or no?
Yeah, I used to stand in the middle of the locker room floor with him just like I do now, but in a different role.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
He loved me.
Yeah.
He had more hair and was skinnier then.
It was back in his quarterbacking days at Everett.
And there it is.
Not quite.
Yeah, almost back.
The truth is never mean.
Anyway, it's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, and you just heard the voice of Matt LePan. Let's head back down to the poll center. What do you got, LePan?
Well, we're starting off 49ers defense tonight. Which defender of the 49ers scares you the most? Patrick Willis, Alden Smith, Deshaun Golston, Navarro Bowman, Justin Smith, or Dante Whitner? And so far, overwhelming for Alden Smith, 88%.
I think they got it right.
What was the question? I'm sorry, I was replying to Lawyer.
Scariest defensive player on the Niners.
Justin Smith.
I
go Alden Smith.
0% of people agree.
Well, they're wrong. It's typical. You know, Paul says fans are stupid. They just read the stat sheet. They don't know who's doing the dirty work. He's got a guy in front of him, and he literally and figuratively rides his coattails. Justin Smith does the dirty work. Alden Smith gets all the love.
All right. After the eye roll, Paul, why Alden Smith over there?
Because he's a stats guy. He just looks at the stat column.
Exactly.
He's our resident Kerry Byrne. Kerry Byrne.
Justin Smith.
That's our first one. Check.
What's going on with the Seattle Seahawks, by the way? Just let me digress for a second.
Blowing people out?
Well, they have about 87 turnovers forced over the last couple of days. They've returned almost all of them for touchdowns. They're scoring points at an eye-popping rate.
They're a good defense.
It's all that Adderall.
They're all hyped up, and especially north of the border. You can do anything up in Canada.
And they don't even have those two guys.
Stronger Adderall in Canada. Yeah, it's funny how he thinks it's two guys.
No, the two guys that actually got caught.
Yeah, I know. The other guys are on better stuff. They don't get caught.
Exactly. I don't have any doubt that the 11 that they're playing against are also on the same stuff.
Oh, no question.
Aren't getting caught.
Only idiots get caught. Victor Conti was tweeting about it all afternoon. You'd have to be a moron to get caught these days.
Was Malloy one of the guys who got caught coming through the border? I know it was Law. Was Malloy in that crew or no?
Yeah.
I don't think he was.
No.
It was Troy Brown.
Troy Brown, Ty Law, and I think one other person, but I don't think it was Lawyer.
No. It was Terry Glenn, right?
Terry Glenn, yeah.
That makes sense.
Wasn't Lawyer.
Wasn't Adderall. Wasn't Adderall.
Oh, no, it wasn't Adderall.
The guy who got them in trouble was Ty.
Yeah.
That's the guy that got him in trouble.
That's my vague recollection.
His cousin's bag.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here on Patriots.com. We're taking you up to Patriots and Niners. We want your thoughts on the game. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's kick things off with our buddy Jeff in Vegas. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are phenomenal because we're not ripping people for their shoe types like you are in Vegas right now.
Oh, wow. Oh, geez, you caught that. Yeah, you don't want to go around in rubber-soled shoes when you're truly in the business arena.
I wear rubber-soled shoes, but they're called sneakers.
Yeah, unless it's just a comfort issue. You know, true business guy, you don't wear rubber-soled shoes ever. Speaking of Pete Carroll, though, there's nothing better, and just keep betting Seattle until they lose or don't cover. There's nothing better than celebrating right along with Pete Carroll when he's jumping for
Woo!
And they're on a hot streak. You know, pumped and jacked.
That's right. Well, the big issue this week, and, you know, they're playing in Toronto. They're bad on the road, but neutral site, they're fine.
Right.
Yeah, well, they did win in Chicago.
They've turned the corner. Super Bowl champs. Patriots Seahawks rematch.
That's a pretty
neutral field.
They're playing pretty good football.
You mad, bro? All right, what do you got? What do we got? I saw a slew of money coming in this week.
Yes. It opened New England -5.5. It has collapsed. A massive amount of San Francisco steam has brought it down to New England -3.5. Total back up to 47.5. So you have a massive amount of San Francisco money that's coming in. No respect for New England.
47.5. I'm going under. I got 27-20.
Is there anyone who's not going under?
No, I would go under the 47 as well.
Somebody in the poll center.
LePan, I believe, is raising his hand down the poll center.
47.5.
Excuse me, right. So I'm under that.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm on the under.
I got 27-21. I'm over.
And as far as the side goes, that's going to bring us to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Brought to you by the Eye Candy Dancers.
Nice.
Yes.
Guys, here's what we're going to do. And
they don't wear rubber shoes, do they?
Not rubber shoes.
They know a lot about rubber, though.
They do often what I'm going to do today, and that is a straddle. Sometimes they
straddle.
Speaking of, never mind.
And the straddle that we're going to employ related to this game is we're going to listen to Andy Hart. It's possible San Fran could upset New England outright. Therefore, we're putting 50%, one half of a unit,
yep.
50 basis points on the Niners money line +210. If they win outright, we're covered. We get over 2-1 on our investment. Also, we're going to take New England now that it's they're only -3.5. We're going to give the 3.5. We're going to take New England. The only way we lose is if New England barely wins by, you know, 3 or less.
Okay.
San Fran wins, we win big. New England covers, we win big, and we top it off going under the 47.5. Lock it in. I know it's complicated.
I like it, and I like that you'll be swimming in money, and I like that you'll be buying more lunches for the PFW boys.
Yeah, I'm due for a lunch. Let's lock in a lunch either way.
And let's lock in those Eye Candy Dancers making a trip to Foxborough for some straddling in this studio.
Straddling of the rubber. Kevin, lock it in.
Lock it in. See you, Jeff. Enjoy.
Take care.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Giving us a call, 508-298-0398. You can weigh in with your thoughts on this Patriots and Niners game. And just to digress again, because, you know, while the 4 o'clock games are going on, looking at this Patriots game, you realize the Chiefs just got their first
down of the game.
Five minutes left in the third.
Who was it that paid for it?
That wasn't it. That was the play before. They got the first down.
I saw somebody get
Moyaki. Moyaki got lit up.
I just saw... So the tight end was supposed to block a line, or maybe the tackle, and he fell down about a foot from the line.
When you're losing 12-0 to the Raiders, it's not a good sign for your ball club.
How many picks does Palmer have today?
Romeo Crennel.
Romeo's a nice man. You leave him alone.
Yeah, I know.
You'll learn that.
I hopefully will. Checking the emails here, webradio@patriots.com. The Fox writes in from New Mexico, guys, coming in, do you think the Niners D is the most impressive in the NFL since the 2000 Ravens? Is this the best opposing defense of the Tom Brady era, which is something that you already touched on earlier, right, Andy?
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to go quite that far, but I can't really remember when I thought a defense on the other side of the ball was as good as this unit. Paul's better with the history. Give me some to choose from.
Yeah, I'm not really good with comparing the different teams over the course of the years, but I can't recall one that I thought was this dynamic defensively.
Physical, athletic, fast. Like everything you want on a defense, they have. And don't pretend this is just the last couple of years. They've been doing this for like 4, 5, 6 years now. They just now have a team that wins, and more people are noticing it. But they've had a very good defense for a long time.
Like, I've seen some smaller, faster defenses that have been impressive. You know, they can cause problems. Miami was built like that a lot, you know, back in the Zach Thomas days. They had some small, fast players. This team has big, fast players that can hurt you physically and with their athleticism. I don't know. I can't recall a team.
And they can rush. They stop the run. They, you know, everything. It's you know, there's not a lot of weaknesses. If you know, the NFL puts out that chart that lists every defense and, like, you know,
all their rankings.
Columns from A to M. And you just go across the Niners and it's like 1, 2, 1, 3, 1. Like every category, they're in the top three, whether it's yards, offense, rushing yards, passing yards allowed, pass rush, you know, anything. They're in the top couple in everything. Whereas Houston, you found some that were a little lower. Like their pass defense was like 19th. There's none of those glaring weaknesses numerically, and we know Paul's big on stats based on his Alden Smith love, that really jump off the board of San Francisco.
You know, because the guy that has 19 and a
half
sacks,
the guy
sacks
leading
is obviously
the NFL might set the single season record for sacks, yes.
Not only that, he has the greatest 2 years in the history of the NFL to start a career, right. Better than Reggie White.
And my man crush that I had on him coming out of Missouri in the first place has nothing to do with my thoughts.
Well, you were at the right school for the great player. It's just Justin Smith out of Missouri is the key, not Alden.
It's just stats,
10 years
that's
apart,
all.
But...
No, now.
You know, the Chicago game that we talked about a little earlier in the Monday night game with San Francisco, and I mentioned this to Andy when we were putting the preview together last week. Everybody was going into that game, well, you got Jason Campbell playing for the Bears, and you got Colin Kaepernick playing for the Niners. A lot of running game tonight. Well, the Niners came out throwing, and everybody thought that the Bears would be able to run forte because the Niners are, quote-unquote, a little bit susceptible to the run this year. So I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that. You know, I know how dominant they are. Yeah. You don't watch the Niners. Yeah. I'm being honest.
I didn't realize they had
let up, you know, some rushing yards. So, creases, you know, like Andy says, you know, you start putting the preview together when you're looking, they're like second in the league against the run. I'm like, where are they susceptible?
They're
like,
not.
They may have given up a couple of runs here or there, but certainly they're not susceptible to the run. Any more so than they are to the pass or anything else.
And they don't count on the turnover, really. They're not like the Patriots with this massive turnover ratio.
I think they have less than 20 turnovers
and
forced on the year.
They're like plus six. Yep. They're just like a fine, normal, run-of-the-mill turnover team. So it's not even like you say, well, if you don't turn the ball over, you'll have success. No, you can't really fall on that. There's really nothing other than just saying, we're going to be better than them. We're going to outplay them. But this is a game where normally we say, if the Patriots offense plays well, you win. There's no question, you win. They're that good. Brady's that good. I think you could play well and lose. Like, I think you could, Brady could complete a lot of passes, but, you know, there's going to be times where they're going to have good coverage. There's going to be times when they're going to get pressure. I don't think necessarily the Patriots have to make mistakes to lose. I think they could play a decent football game and lose to this defense.
It's one of those things that depends on how you look at playing well. Like, I think if the Patriots offense plays well, they will win. I agree with Andy. But he's right. Like, you could go out and do all the things that you normally do, and they might just stop you a few times. I think that the perception that we'll have then is that the Patriots didn't play that well. Because I don't think that the Patriots need to turn the ball over two or three times to lose. That certainly isn't the case. But I think if they play well, I think they will put too many points on the board for San Francisco to match.
One more question here from the Fox in New Mexico to webradiopatriots.com. O'o Manawanui was immense at the start of last week's game, like having a sixth offensive lineman out there. Do you think he can be effective helping against Alden Smith?
Yes, and I think you'll probably see some of that. I mean, he's your blocking fullback, tight end, H-back type that they'll probably use. As I said, you know, ideally you'd probably have Gronkowski out there because that makes you more versatile in terms of, okay, we can also so throw out of these looks. Gronk can motion out, do different things. But in terms of just protecting Brady and using an extra blocker against a very physical front, yeah, I think O'o Manawanui. See, I did it.
Yeah, that was
I didn't even
good.
Have to sing it.
That was good.
O'o Manawanui. I just want to hit Twitter real quick because we got stuff starting to flow in.
Yeah.
According to E. Scal, who used to be PFW Eric but changed his name to disassociate from us, heavy rain starting to fall now in Foxborough. Also, a good question from our friend Misha 2334. Mm-hmm. She's hot and she's from Sweden, just so you want to get an update.
File that away.
What's the health status of the offensive line? Keeping Brady upright is moving, is going to be one of the keys to this game. Paul Perillo, I know you and I have talked a lot about this, but delve into that topic about an offensive line that's being duct taped together.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge concern for me. We talked about it Friday, Andy and I, on our Roster Report podcast. Really,
we were even ahead of the curve on that, by the way, because we were including Solder and the injured guy. No, we were including Solder and the injured guys,
and then they finally added him
to the injury report when we were saying he looks like he's hurt all the time. And
yeah,
they
he's got some sort of abdominal or rib cage type injury. Maybe it's an oblique, as they call him in baseball. No, seriously.
Was it barking at him? Was it barking at him?
Well, you know, we're going to talk to Millsy. Shill's going to battle. Clearly, he's at less than 100%. Mankins, my God, every game, he's, you know, somehow getting himself out on the field when he is able to play.
Connolly's been in and
Vollmer's
out.
Vollmer's back injury has been affecting him.
Vollmer, hell.
Connolly's back injury has been affecting him. The only guy who hasn't really dealt with anything is Ryan Wendell. So that is a major concern to me. I agree with Mish. That's a big-time concern, that offensive line, because this is a game you need those guys. And what you need those guys to play big. And Mankins played really, really well, I thought, at far less than 100% last week. Can he do it again?
And can he do it? And I'm not even worried about as much the physical as almost the mental. Like, they haven't played that much next to each other, Solder and Mankins. And I know we always say, yeah, it doesn't matter. Dante always has them all ready. Whoever's in there, the guy next to him, they've practiced like this before. But, you know, some of the games that they're going to play up front with the Smith brothers, Alden and Justin, whoever's more important or more valuable, you have to deal with both of them. And I wonder if those two, you know, it only takes one, whoops, we weren't, you know, on the same page there, and Brady's getting, you know, peeling himself off the turf. So I think that is a secondary concern beyond just the health is, you know, those guys not always being together this year.
We touched on the inactives. We're a little under a half an hour away from those being released, taking you up to Patriots and Niners here in Foxborough on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. You can get in touch, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Continue to pump in the feedback there, and we go behind enemy lines next here on patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you here.
No, that's not McFadden.
Patriots pregame social. I'm looking up at this Raiders game. I got excited there for a moment, but that wasn't Darren McFadden. We're with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We're taking you up to Pats and Niners in what could be the game of the year in the NFL. Pats 10-3, Niners at 9-3-1. It's an 8:20 Eastern kickoff time. We'll get you the inactive shortly, but first, let's go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And to do that, we welcome in Eric Branch from the San Francisco Chronicle to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. And Eric, we look at this Niners team coming in at 9-3-1. We know that Jim Harbaugh made a major change at quarterback, going from Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick. In your view, what's been the biggest difference in the offense with Kaepernick running the show?
Well, I think he poses just a little bit more of a challenge to a defense, just because what he can do with his legs and the strength of his arm, you know, the deep balls are certainly more of a threat. And the thing is, he's been, you know, if you've seen him in training camp, you say, well, he just doesn't have the accuracy right now to be able to play. Actually, accuracy has not been a problem for him. He threw one interception and one of them 29 attempts. So that's the other thing you worry about with the end quarterback is he's going to turn the ball over and you know, with some very rare exceptions, but he hasn't done that.
I'm more interested in talking about the defensive side of the ball, Eric, and just how good this this defense is. You know, Andy Hart, who's on the show with us, you know, just brought up something. Is this the best defense the NFL has seen in the last, you know, whatever many, you know, 4 or 5 years? We sort of gone back to the 2000 Ravens and drawn comparisons. Is this as good a defense as we think it is?
I mean, you know, it's certainly very good. I can always speak really intelligently about the 49ers. I didn't say exactly where they stack up, you know, vis-a-vis teams.
Yeah, that's what we said, too.
What's that?
Hey, that's kind of the conclusion we came to.
They're really good. We don't know where they rank, but they're really good.
None of us knows enough to accurately say.
I know I'm going out on a limb by saying they're really good. But, you know, one guy to look for, you know, Patriots fans may not, you know, not who this guy is, but he's really been playing well. He's the number three quarterback, Chris Culver. For obvious reasons, he's going to feel plenty tonight. And he, you know, in my estimation, whatever it's worth, he's played just as well as Terrell Brown and Carlos Rogers this year. And he's pushing, you know, he's certainly pushing for those guys. I don't know what they're going to do in 2013. But he's a third-round pick from last year, and he's got really, again, not to get hyperbolic here, but, you know, really he's shown some elite cover skills. And so, anyway, I think you'll see number 29 a little, and I think Patriots fans will be impressed with what they see if he continues his level of play.
One of the questions that we were sort of breaking down, and again, the comparisons to the Ravens defense is, you know, this is a unit that has a lot of impressive personnel, but most of the time, there's one or two guys that everybody else sort of feeds off of. If you were going to kind of give the rundown, obviously Patrick Willis, great player. Obviously Justin Smith, great player. Alden Smith has all the production. Sort of what's the hierarchy of the players on that defense in terms of who you think really makes it so successful?
Well, I guess I can't be wrong if I go any number of directions. I think Justin Smith is a guy. I think he may have two or three sacks this year, but he is so disruptive. And, you know, they'll run stunts, you know, with him and Alden Smith. And, you know, without Justin Smith around, Alden Smith is physically gifted. He'd still be fine, but, you know, we wouldn't be talking about him as breaking Michael Strahan's single season sack record. And Justin Smith is, you know, they always say it's rather annoying, but you ask, you know, a coach, what do you think of Justin Smith? And they'll give you the old, well, he's a football player, you know, which is like, well, okay. But, you know, the idea behind that is the guy is just, you know, old school, you know, that John Wayne type. And, you know, in many ways, I think he's kind of the heart and soul of that defense. And besides just his leadership and intensity, obviously the guy can still play, and he's getting up an edge.
What kind of game plan do you think that they'll come out with offensively tonight? Will they, you know, try to attack with Frank Gore, or will they take some chances and let Kaepernick throw the football and get it down the field?
Well, I think, you know, I guess the obvious school of thought will be to try to play keep away from Brady and establish Gore. And LaMichael James made his debut last week, and it was very impressive. But, yeah, the Niners' offense was fairly creative, and I don't think they'll be that predictable. I think eventually they'll want to play that type of game. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them come out throwing the ball a fair amount. Maybe not necessarily downfield, but take what the Patriots might be giving them underneath. And try to loosen things up and establish score in the run game in the second half. So we'll see. Remember I said that if that works. Okay, nothing like it just to get, you know, stop that one.
We're obviously coming off a big game from last week here in New England, where Houston sort of showed themselves not quite ready for prime time, not ready for the task of coming into Foxborough. Seems like they were overwhelmed a little bit early, got down 21-0, and just really could never recover. In terms of confidence and the mental side of things with a young quarterback, where do you think this 49ers team is right now? Is this a big measuring stick game for them, and are they ready for this challenge of Sunday night football at Gillette Stadium in December against Brady and Belichick and all that goes with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat similar to how they opened the season at Green Bay. Green Bay hadn't lost the next 14, 15, 16 straight home games. That's going to be a tough one. It'll be 0-1. But, you know, anyway, they came out and, you know, they had no problems with the crowd. I think it was 30-22, but it wasn't even that close. So, you know, the times they've struggled or had lapses, you know, by and large this year against lesser teams, did not play well against the Vikings, and they really struggled with the Rams. When they have played, you know, for example, the Bears on Monday night, they thrashed them and they played extremely well. But I don't think the stage is going to be too good. Kaepernick has really shown some, you know, poise and fuel when he has made some of his mistakes. He generally responded on the next drive, either some sort of heroic or just a solid drive and they scored points. So I don't think it's going to be too big for him, even though it's just his career start. I think the Niners will be ready. They may not be as good as the Patriots, but I don't think they're going to lose because they're wide-eyed.
All right, Eric, before we let you go, let's get a prediction. How do you see this thing shaking out?
Okay, so here we go. All right, so it's going to be Patriots 23 and the Niners 19. David Akers is going to be busy. 23-19. Although, I don't know, in these conditions, that many field goals, well,
All right, we will leave it there. He is Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle giving us the view from San Francisco. Eric, thanks so much for taking the time.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, so he's got the Pats in a tight one over the Niners. I would say that's the general consensus.
Oh, everybody seems to be in like the low 20s, high teens in that, you know, 3-4 point ball game. Paul's just going to whack his microphone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sidney Rice was out of bounds in this touchdown catch.
I just need to read the tweet of the year from the Dark Knight, who says,
"Excellent."
In the spirit of Christmas, PPGS interviewing Charlie Brown's teacher. I did have a little trouble understanding.
Someone was asking if he was on Peter Gammon's cell phone or if it was Charlie Brown's teacher.
Not the greatest phone.
Well, plus, I think he's having trouble getting here, too. So he's
apparently,
probably,
he's sitting in traffic. Yeah, he's not even here.
He's en route. Yeah. It's terrible weather. He's on a bad cell.
Not ideal.
And all at the same time, Pete Carroll is running fake punts up 47-17.
Before we open up the phones here, 508-298-0398, I wanted to read an email quickly from Colin, and it's similar
not
to...
Kaepernick.
Not Colin Kaepernick, I don't believe. But similar to what...
This is probably a drunk Colin
from
Ireland.
The point that Eric Branch was just making, it is. It's Colin from... Nope, never mind. Scotland. Colin from Scotland writes
close.
In.
He's drunk, but he's got a kilt on. That's the only difference.
Who needs this game more?
Needs it more.
That's how it's worded.
I'm not sure either team really needs it.
Yeah, I think it's the same for both. They're fighting for a bye.
Yeah.
You know, San Francisco certainly makes the NFC West a little bit more interesting. I mean,
it's different, though, because last week with Houston, we were sitting here going, this is more important. This says more about Houston, how they show up.
Right.
You don't feel that way about the Niners, in other words.
No, but...
Well, they certainly don't want to lay an egg like Houston did. But I don't think it really has a huge difference. Both teams are trying to go for a bye. I think both teams are capable of going to the Super Bowl with or without a bye, but it's harder if you don't have the bye.
And I also think that if you want to get in technical terms, the Patriots have their division all locked up, and the Niners don't. The Seahawks, as we were just
right
joking about, they're right behind them, and they have to go to Seattle
next week,
you know, where that overrated 12th man is, according to Pac-Man.
Yeah, I just hope we can hear the announcers when they do that game next week. That's all I hope.
Yeah, well, all I can tell you, who was the guy that said, you know, that was a game that was completely affected by the crowd this week? Someone said that? I don't know, I forget. I immediately thought of Pac-Man saying, overrated.
Whatever, the noise. Yeah, it's overrated. Just an excuse. You know.
Two most overrated things in the world, the 12th man in Seattle.
And Sandy.
And Superstorm Sandy.
Hurricanes and the 12th man in Seattle. Yeah.
So I think, you know, from a technical standpoint, I would say San Francisco needs it more. The Patriots are division champs, win, lose, or draw tonight. San Francisco is not. But
who wants it more?
I think that they both need the game. Who wants it more?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking of t-shirts in the desert in Arizona.
We're going to see at 8:20, Andy, when they kick this when
right
kick
away.
This football
immediately
off.
We'll kick know. It off at 8:20.
No, it's going to be 8:30.
And we'll immediately know who wants it more.
Probably not.
Like one team's just going to lay down while the other team.
It won't be like that Texans game. I don't think it's going to be like that Texans game.
I am going to be
sitting there going,
so
all right,
freaking
Devin McCourty pick, this thing's over.
Yeah, I am going to be so disappointed if it's in the first quarter and you feel like the game's over.
Yeah,
it's because I really, really have high hopes for this to be the ultimate. And we talked about it, you know, like sort of the finesse offense versus the great physical defense, something like huge. And if this is 21-0 in the first quarter, patooey.
What are you celebrating about over there?
Big play right there by James Harrison.
Don't you
in the,
wish he
Cowboys
paid more
game.
Attention to the show and less to other
just,
games around the
he's
league?
Like, it's almost to the point where he has like end zone dances for what's
maybe
going
on. Maybe then when
on
he
the
told
screen.
A story that started with, you know, who's that announcer that said something? I don't know.
I don't know.
Have a little more thought involved if you weren't watching other games.
Big sack by James Harrison, though. Let's open
right.
up. Let's open up.
He
the
got
phone.
The details of that.
That's right. It wasn't a sack. It was a play. it was a designed run that he got Romo on.
508-298-0.
Number two.
If I were paying more attention to the game
in
the program,
if this guy paid a little bit more attention to anything that was going on, he wouldn't say, I don't know what happened in that game every single time.
Well, you'll be happy that Rich Eisen said, that's a 50 burger, people.
Back to back.
I just don't care about the burger part.
Yeah, that's back to back, though, for Seattle.
We're going to open up the phones here. 508-298-0398.
Running up the score in both games.
2 weeks in a row. And I wonder if we'll hear about it, like we heard about Belichick.
Well, you heard about it last week.
My sense is
that you'll hear about it a little bit more because he took some heat last week.
Back to back games.
But
the
only problem is,
more.
Like, Pete doesn't really have a lot of respect. Like, he's already a clown. People already think of him as the woo-hoo guy. You know, like, it's different, I think, when you're, like, supposed to be this such astute, serious, analytical football mind. When you're just a Wahoo, you know, it just,
well,
you're a Wahoo.
And we know who we probably can't run
they're
it up on
really
next week
jacked up for this game.
Is that Niners team. And we know him and Harbaugh don't exactly get along.
No,
so it could be could be an interesting backstory for
that. That would be awesome.
Let's, if
Harbaugh
just Harbaugh hangs 50 on him.
And go to midfield, almost at half court. To midfield and just like,
what's your
lay
deal?
Him out.
Yeah, what's your deal?
Is just lay him out with those crazy eyes.
Let's go to Nick in San Diego. What are your thoughts on this game tonight, Nick?
No, I just thought that it was his phone and not mine. I was calling in, and I thought, is something wrong with my phone? Can I not hear what's going on? But it just turned out to be him. Thank goodness.
Why don't you try doing an interview with him when you're not really sure what he's saying?
Yeah, we just laughed when there was some inflection in his voice. We were just like, didn't really know what he's saying.
You did a great job. You actually seemed like you heard what was going on with the questions you were asking him. Nicely done.
I had no I was just picking out like a keyword here or there and trying to follow.
I just like how he would laugh. Like
yeah.
In the middle of the night.
So we know.
So if it goes that way,
and we're just like,
yeah. I have no idea what way it has to go for him to be right because I don't know what he said.
Well, I guess the way I'm seeing this game is it's not as important as last week, of course. And I think the game that really affected us the most this week would be the Ravens and the Broncos. And so after that, are the Ravens pretenders or are the Broncos just that good at playing away? What do you guys think it is?
Well, the Ravens are in disarray.
Right.
The Ravens were missing their top six tacklers on defense today. That's an unbelievable stat. And that doesn't take into consideration Ladarius Webb, who is their best cornerback. They're in utter disarray. They cannot. I don't think they can beat teams with the defense as currently constituted. Denver, that said, you know, I don't want to just gloss over Denver's win. They went on the road, and they beat a team that's undermanned the way you should beat a team that's undermanned.
See, now
they had a 31-3 lead halfway through the third quarter.
Now, I will jump in on this because I've been sort of anti-Denver just seeing the teams they've been rolling through here the last couple of weeks and hearing everybody saying, oh, well, Denver's really well. Meanwhile, they've beaten no one.
I don't know, today's a legit win. And I understand Baltimore is going in the wrong direction. I agree with that.
Right.
But today legitimizes Denver more in my mind, certainly, than they were in the last eight games coming into this one.
If they had a now, listen, they got a big pick six in that game that really turned the game around. It was 10-0, last 30 seconds of the first half, and Flacco threw an out on the goal line that went 98 the other way.
Somewhere Cam Cameron was just laughing
hysterically because Flacco was absolutely abysmal in this game again today. But when you squeak by and win 21-17 over an undermanned team, you can sort of continue that line of thinking, well, who is Denver and what have they done? When you're up 31-3 over that undermanned team on the road that was really, really desperate for a win, it's kind of hard to just gloss over the win and say, oh, who cares? You know, give them credit. I think it's matching up right now for 2-3, Patriots and Denver. It's just a matter of who's going to be the 2 and who's going to be the 3.
We keeping you up over there, Mr. Hart?
No, I laughed a little.
What do you got?
Somebody emailed in, tweeted in, hashtag PPGS if you want to join us. And by the way, send photos. We might get some interesting ones from out in the parking lots tonight where, I don't know about you guys, I got here at like 2 or whatever it was, and they were already unpacking and getting ready to tailgate.
You got here at 2 today?
Yeah, something like that.
I got here at 4. I thought I was on the early side, to be honest.
Yeah, you were here before,
Eric,
and I?
Didn't really have anything to do. Oh, yeah. Long time before. Oh. But I'd be interested to see what it looks
long
like out there.
Maybe that's why he has no idea what's going on in any of the games.
I did count on you being here so I could watch them in your office, and the door was locked. I had to go down and talk to the geeks and watch in their office.
You got here 4.5 hours before
Good
game
Lord.
Time.
Anyway, Inkovic, Inkovic,
yeah.
Said PPGS, opponent sports writing guest on PPGS. Check. Not really him. It's more his phone.
Yeah, it was
the
phone.
Or the connection.
Because I thought that he was fine.
The
it was
phone
the phone.
Wasn't great.
You know, he might have been on Metro PCS. And,
As your new colleague, Mike Felger, is wont to say.
Metro PCS.
Yeah, bad phone.
Check. Gave bad phone.
Bad phone.
Gave us some bad phone on the pregame show. He did.
I mean,
give me a break.
Well, the person we should make fun of most is Eric.
T-Mobile.
His phone blows every week.
Yep. T-Mobile. Check.
Yep. Alberto, by the way, your boy.
Fatty. How are you?
Writes into web radio. At Patriots.com. Andy, please shut up. I want to give my season award to Will Fork. He's consistent and a great
professional. Figures you like another fat guy.
Do you think this defense, and in particular the secondary, for good? Do you
You're
think
not going
to
do
defense,
that on your own show,
do you think
like
this defense is for good? Well, you know, if the emails aren't spelled out right, maybe I should preview those a bit more.
Well, his fat little fingers were typing multiple letters at
Correct.
Once.
So basically on Will Fork, and I want to throw a stat at you guys, and maybe this isn't shocking, but Will Fork's played 678 snaps and been off the field for 168 of them. The Patriots are allowing 3.6 yards a rush when he's in, over 5 yards a rush when he's out. They've sacked the quarterback 27 times when he's on the field and once when he's out. So that would seem to underscore what Al is talking about, you know, handing out this consistent defensive award to Vince Will Fork. He, not that it's, you know, breaking news or anything, but he does seem to be the true linchpin and key to the defense.
Well, I think he's one of them, and I think we've known that for years now. He's an elite defensive tackle who they move all around the front. You know, we've seen, you know, more consistency this year, but he can play end in the 3-4. He can play tackle, move around both sides of the tackle, different shades and things of that nature. Some of those I think might be misleading because if he comes out on third and long,
the running thing is completely
misleading. They run a draw for 15 yards.
Exactly.
You know, That's not really Vince Wilfork related. Mm-hmm. But if you want me to tell you, is he a good player? Yes, he's an elite player. And he is one of, Paul and I argued about this, and you know, we were talking about why the defense has been a little bit better. Is it being more aggressive? And I said, I just think they're guys. They're three guys that are most important. McCourty, Mayo, and Wilfork have been better over the last month and a half. And that's the core of your defense. When those guys play well and are good, solid forces, the other eight guys are going to make plays around them.
Yeah, I certainly think that Wilfork is the MVP of the defense. Just not for that reason. The plays that he's not on the field that the other team is running are generally long yarded situations where you say, go right ahead.
Now they do rotate a little with Dedrick and
he's not
Kyle
very much,
Love.
Though. Love and Dedrick.
No,
yes.
They've done the 3-man rotation.
Oh yeah,
enough,
no, but
that,
not as much with him. And I think those
plays.
Numbers would indicate that over 600 plays and only 100 and something that he's off
the
field.
I would guess they give him 2 to 3 series a game where those two are on the field together, Dedrick and Love or somebody else. And you know, some of those probably came there. But I think the bigger issue is the third down plays where he comes off.
Let me give you one more stat for the defense.
Ooh, somebody swallowed some stats.
And this
tonight.
is in relation to the Tlaib edition. And you know, think of it what you will. But the Patriots have allowed their opponent under 20 points in 3 straight games for the first time since weeks 14 through 16 of 2009. The last time they did it in 4 straight games, weeks 7 through 10 in 2008.
And this is not exactly an explosive Niners offense. But look, it's already been 3 years since the defense has accomplished what it has the last 3 weeks. Are they legitimately playing that well? Is it the opponent that they've gone against? What are the factors here these last 3 weeks to four games since Tlaib has been in on defense?
Last Monday night, it was legitimate, the defense playing that well. Obviously, the Jets game was a comedy of errors on New York's part. And I think it was a little bit of in-between against Miami. I thought that they played well against a limited offense, but I thought Miami also missed some opportunities to make some plays that they probably would like to have back and that they didn't. But there is no asterisk next to what they did last week against Houston, if you ask me. I thought Houston offensively is pretty good. I think they were number two in the league coming in terms of statistics. I know that Andy likes to call those Loserville, and
I
tend to agree with him. But
I understood Houston, when the guy from San Francisco said that Justin Smith was awesome.
Yeah, the guy who
I missed some of the keys, but he said he was awesome.
The guy that the next 10 minutes after he got off the phone, everybody eviscerated. Andy's taking
no.
Solace
I only eviscerated his phone and the ability to hear him. He sounded like a very astute football observer.
So,
more importantly, yeah, Robert Gronkowski is officially out, according to Albert Breer. Only notable name on Pat's list.
He says Tlaib, Solder, etc.
Apparently, if you work for the NFL Network, they give you the inactives early.
We have not seen the official release from the Patriots, but Gronkowski
Albert
out,
Breer has.
Which doesn't surprise either of you guys. You expected Gronkowski to be out, and Tlaib and Solder are in, according to
assume.
Breer. That's, well, again,
those would be notable names.
That's exactly what he tweeted.
Oh.
Tlaib and Solder, etc. are active. Are either of those guys surprises for you?
No. I mean, Solder was a late addition to the injury report. If you want to rank the banged-up offensive linemen, he's probably 4 out of 5. Vollmer, Conley, and Mankins are well more injured than he is. He's dealing with a little something. He's not hurt. He's not, injured to take out of a game. And Tlaib, yeah, I expected him to play.
All right, so Gronkowski officially out. That sounds like the only significant name, for the Patriots, who will be out for tonight's game against the San Francisco 49ers. They come in at 9-3-1. Patriots host them here in Foxborough. They check in at 10-3. We'll pass along the actual inactives when they come down the way. But time now for our Bose headphone giveaway. The 8th caller to the contest line at 508-298-0392. Again, 508-298-0392. That's our contest line. Wins a pair of Bose SIE2 Sport headphones.
Yeah, Bose.
To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat, and weather resistance, a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok Fitness armband. You demand more from your workout, shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, game-changing sound. And you just heard Andy Hart groaning. What was that all about?
Jeff Howe tweeted that Chris Collinsworth has somebody walking behind him holding an umbrella.
I just read that.
Over his head. I guess that's big time.
That's different than the coattails that Justin Smith is, or Aldon Smith, rather, is following Justin Smith around with. And we're getting the signal from the poll center. We have the inactives there, LePan.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Zusevic, Martin, Beckett, Brace, White, Gronkowski.
One more time. I don't have that Twitter in front of me.
Zusevic, Martin, Beckett, Brace, White, Gronkowski. They're going to be
seventh spot blank.
Right, because they have
only have 52.
Right, number of six. Number on active roster, 52. Mm-hmm. Pre-game introduction designation. They're going to announce the defense individually.
How much you want to bet when the Patriots win this game that when? Someone says, they only needed 52 players.
Well, you can certainly weigh in with thoughts like that at 508-298-0398. Also send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you there on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, and we'll get the guys' keys to this one next here on patriots.com.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good. They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriot season ticket holder? Join the Patriot season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriot season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. Woo!
Get inside the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Second and final hour of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Adam Andy Jones, doesn't care Paul what the Perillo, song is.
And a disappointed Andy
Well, you
Hart.
Told me. You better get ready. This is fairness, your song they're going to play.
It was my own fault. I thought
you
Kevin,
queued me up to whistle.
I thought Kevin usually played it for the top of the second hour. I said, Andy, you know, why don't you listen to this rejoin here? This is your whistle song rejoin. It's
It's my own mistake. I got y'all amped up and excited for no reason.
You should know better than that. Was my own fault. Get me going.
I shouldn't try to predict things outside of week 2. Patriots Cardinals. I should not try.
Nostradamus.
We're taking you up.
No, Jonestradamus.
Patriots and Giants. 8:20 kickoff time here in Foxborough. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com.
How come and you let's get down. My keys yet?
Well, that's what we're about to do. Let's get down to brass tacks here and get the guys' keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
So the very astute Andy Hart, earlier in the season we were doing keys earlier in the program. We've kind of shifted them back
a little bit more. It actually should be a little later in the show.
Yeah, so, this is when it should be.
Yeah. So I ask you.
What the hell are brass tacks?
You know, the nuts and bolts, brass tacks. I think the saying's the same. I can Google it, though. While you guys are doing your keys that I...
Brass tacks, we got screwed.
I half-heartedly listened to, like last week when you mentioned the 3 straight road games for the Texans. I will, I'll Google away. But what's your
brass
key to the game,
tacks.
Starting with Andy Hart?
My key to the game is the trenches. It's very simple. It's Patriots offensive line, which is banged up and looks it on virtually every snap, going against a defensive front, a 3-4 front that... one Hall of Fame linebacker told me, I ain't seen the 3-4 run like that in years. That's Andre Tippett, who was observing from afar. Mm. And, you know, his opinion carries some weight with me. I think this is a massive challenge for the Patriots offensive line. Maybe Manoa Nui as well. But they need to meet it schematically, because I think that San Francisco is good, but also just physically. You know, you have a bunch of guys with back injuries, and that seems to worry me when you're facing, you know, I think the hardest time to play stout and physical is when you're dealing with a back injury. So that concerns me.
Before we get Paul's, you want to hear the definition from freedictionary.com?
Sure.
The better one is on the pay site.
To begin to talk about important things, to get down to business. I think I used that correctly. Let's get down to brass tacks.
Sorry, that one went over my head for about 5 seconds.
No, we would have got the better definition from
a non-free dictionary.
Yeah, we'll settle for the free dictionary. So I think I used
you
that
get
properly.
What you pay for.
That's right.
Paul, let's get down to brass tacks with you. What's your key?
Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
Can I hit the definition again?
Yeah, it is to begin to talk about important things, get down to business.
Okay.
You actually used it very well.
I think I didn't 100% know, but
you never heard the term before?
It.
This is another one of those
correctly.
That...
I was thinking of Mankind wrestling on, like, getting slammed on tacks.
Oh.
I just... brass tacks?
I would agree with Andy in terms of...
Brass balls?
You have to win the battle with the line. To me, it's the same as last week. I thought that it was imperative to take away Arian Foster and make... The Texans play in a way that they didn't want to play. I don't think you can let Colin Kaepernick get comfortable tonight. Instead of Frank Gore specifically, I think those edges are really important. He's unbelievable.
He's just unbelievable. You would think it would stop at some point.
He's a pig.
It's just, you know.
Andy runs on Duncan. And that's my exhaust pipe.
I feel the edges tonight. Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich, Trevor Scott when he's in there. These guys need to make decisions. They need to allow Vince Wilfork and those guys to handle Frank Gore between the tackles. They have to make sure that they don't fall for those zone reads and let Kaepernick get on the outside, because if he does, he's dangerous enough to make you really pay for it. So to me, it's all about stopping the run, just a little bit different than Arian Foster last week.
Against my fantasy
your
defense.
Fantasy defense. Sorry.
Fantasy football playoff.
I just turned into Paul and watched a big play
on
red zone.
Fantasy football playoffs ain't going too hot here for Adam Jones. One more question here on this one tonight.
He's pointing to me in case you're not watching on TV.
We'll start with Paul then. I'll point the other way. All right, Paul. So the Patriots are on a short week.
He took his point away.
It is a short week.
The Patriots are on a short week. The Niners are flying cross country.
Correct.
So which is more significant tonight?
I would say the cross country flight is more significant because the Patriots are on a short week, but they were home. So I think that they were able to have a pretty normal week in terms of preparation. And, you know, it's hard to go across country. I don't care, you know, how good you are. And I do respect San Francisco. I think they are a good football team. But I think it's tougher, I think, to go west to east and play. And Andy just continues his
nonstop, really.
All-out assault on all things gaseous.
Can't let anything slide.
Well, neither can the microphones, Andy. But I do think it's San Francisco that has the taller task in terms of intangible
Andrew?
Kind of stuff.
Physical recovery, I think, is a struggle this week, coming off a pretty physical game.
It's like a real-life point counterpoint from the Patriots Football Weekly is what
Stephen
this is.
Ridley got banged around last week. I think there's a lot of guys that are feeling it, and you think you're recovered, you're feeling okay right now, and then you get hit a couple times, it's 35 degrees out there, and you realize, ooh, That's still sore. Ooh, that still
so
hurts.
You put Brandon Bolden
physical.
In there. Or Shane Vereen.
No, I used him as an example.
Or somebody.
There's 21 other guys on the field.
Well,
I think
I'm
Brady's
saying.
Probably sore. I think Logan Mankins is probably sore. I think Sebastian Vollmer is probably sore. I think Wes Welker is probably sore.
Who's
I think Aaron Hernandez is probably
who's
sore.
Who's not sore coming off the cross-country flight?
Why are
San
they sore?
Francisco.
Did the plane have
turbulence? Did they not play a game last week?
It's a long
week?
Way to sit on your wallet the whole way. That can really
especially in the NFL, you got a big wallet.
Yeah, you got a
fat wad.
That's a long
when they do that raffle thing and you won. Woohoo, I won! Now you got like all that cash in your wallet.
But look, when you talk about, you know, coming
in
here.
You can weigh in. You have your own show. We'll give you a chance.
Yeah. I think the short week is more significant. I would gravitate towards
your own
towards
show.
What
you're a very
saying.
Astute
so,
observer.
So I tend to think that's being a little underrated. And particularly if the Patriots had to go across country like what you're saying,
if they
saying,
had a road
oh,
game,
God, yes.
If there was a road game,
then every
would be,
Patriots
be
fan in the country would be bitching about having a Monday night game and then a road game in San Francisco.
No, either game. If either game was on the road, if they were on the road last week and had a home game this week, or the other way, or if they had to be on the road this week, now it becomes a true short week because
bruises heal faster
day.
At home than
I
they
think,
do on the road.
I think
here's where I reel Paul in.
Everybody's bruised. You want me in? I'm in. I mean, let's face it's.
Their bruising has reached a crescendo.
Is it week 15?
It is.
Who's not hurt? Well, who's not dealing with bruises?
I think Jake Beckett, pretty healthy.
He's relatively pristine out there.
I believe the term for him is healthy scratch.
I would lean I would lean towards the short week. And look,
and you'd be wrong.
I don't know
the big head.
I don't
what
know
do you
that
want
we
me to tell you.
Well, I do hate
and
that.
And he
I'm
likes
on,
Alden Smith.
I hate that I'm on the same side as him. I do
hate
really
guys that are
going to
set records.
That's very disappointing. And it's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need for the Patriots fan on your Christmas list. Choose from the widest selection of authentic jerseys, hats, and tees, including AFC East Championship gear. The Patriots Pro Shop is located next to Patriot Place in Foxborough and is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. Checking the emails, Benjamin writes in, guys, I think the first round bye is the biggest playoff advantage in sports, and I think New England has to win this game to get it and that they have to have a bye to get to the Super Bowl. They can beat Denver at home and Houston on the road. I don't think they can beat Pittsburgh and then Denver and then Houston on the road in consecutive weeks. Thus, I believe their Super Bowl chances take a nosedive if they lose this game. How do you guys feel about that?
I have a hard time arguing with any of it. I think the biggest advantage in all of sports is the first round bye. It's one less game you have to play, and you get to stay at home. And I also agree with the map that he just unfolded there. It doesn't even have to be Pittsburgh. I think if you lose this game or any of the games, and this certainly would be the only one I think that's losable, Denver's probably going to win their last two. I think they have Kansas City at home, and the last game is escaping me, but it's a similarly easy game. So I think the chances of them losing a game are probably pretty small. I think you're staring at the number three seed if you lose tonight, and I think that changes the complexion of things very much.
Denver finishes out Cleveland and Kansas City. While we're touching on it, the format in the NFL, what do you guys think of the news this week that they're looking at expanding the playoffs to potentially 14 or 16 teams?
Couldn't hate it anymore. I think it's embarrassing. You look today, everybody putting these things on. You got these teams with all these losing records vying for the postseason, and we're going to add more teams to the mix. I think it's a disgrace. I think one of the great things about the NFL is you don't have it watered down. You don't like the NBA, and you know, got all these teams making it with bad records. Yeah, oh, great. So we can have – why don't we just let everybody? Let's do a round-robin style, and, you know, 1 in 15 can win the Super Bowl next year. I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I love it.
Huh? It's another one of these.
I want to eliminate the bye.
It's like we're watching the Thursday night show on Comcast where you guys sit in the room
if you
and
eliminate
go
the
nose
bye.
To nose.
Except we're not yelling.
Only if you eliminate the bye.
Yeah.
If you want to do it and have, like, some sort of double bye situation or – you know, have a triple header wild card weekend and have 14 teams or something like that instead of the 16. I want to get rid of the bye, and I want to make it an even playing field for the playoff teams. I don't think, as Andy Hart just mentioned, that there are a lot of teams with losing records that are vying for the playoffs. You're looking right now, they're showing the AFC, and you got to go
6-8, 6-7.
You got to go to the 8th, 9th seeds to get one with a losing record. And in the NFC, you have to go to the 11th seed to get one with a losing record. So I don't think there's widespread. Listen, it's absolutely, you're adding two teams, you're going to add
you're adding two, maybe
a semblance
four.
Of a mediocre team.
Yeah.
Okay? I get that. But I don't really understand what the big problem is in terms of
watering it down. I thought public safety, I mean, player safety mattered. We're going to make them play more games now. It's just, it's terrible on all levels. Good teams win an advantage in the regular season. The regular season matters. That's why it's so important to win every game.
You're only making the two teams that get byes play an extra game.
Right. So you've taken away that importance. So now we can just mail it in late in the year because we're not going to get a bye either way. We'll not start playing. Bill Belichick will be having Matt Castle throw things away in the end zone so he can set up his first and second round playoff however the hell he wants it.
Yeah, more overrated rhetoric.
Bye. You've made something
because
that's
a play
important.
Like that happened, you know, 8 years ago. It's going to
happen. My biggest issue
year.
Though is just I don't want bad teams. I think bad teams already make it. I think bad teams are already in
but
the
I
wild
think,
card
I,
round.
I think there is.
I'm with Paul. If you want to get rid of wild card teams, just get rid of those. Well, I'd prefer that than adding teams because I don't want to add crappy teams to the postseason.
If you want,
I don't want to be hockey. You know I don't want to be the NBA.
Andy brings up a good point. If you want to go the superiority route and there's bad teams, then I don't have any problem with that.
So your issue is the bye week. That's your issue.
I don't like buys. I don't think it's fair.
It's not fair.
I don't like it.
They earn that buy. They earn that buy.
Sounded like a hate crime. But when you're talking about, you know, this.
That is probably going to be frowned upon in your next job.
Yeah,
that's why he's got to get him out now. He's only got a few more of these.
You can get away with that nonsense with Andy and Paul. You go to a real show and you're going to get in trouble for stuff like that.
I know you've never had your own real show before. Zinga!
It's your wording.
That was well done right there, but I'm just telling you. You might want to tread lightly with that kind of talk.
I'll take a bow. When we're looking at the playoff format, though, isn't this sort of the issue? And I just asked the question, why is the NFL screwing with what's a good thing? And I know the answer is bottom line.
Money.
Like, Andy hit on the reason. They're trying to figure out some way to eliminate those two preseason games and add games. The 18-game schedule is being hit with so much resistance that I think the NFL is finally starting to relent on that. And this is something that they're looking to, you know, line their pockets with. They're looking for ways to get more money. I think he was out of bounds on that right there.
No,
they give him a catch, Andy.
I mean, that's how little focus
Andy,
he has on the show that he's doing.
But I do
that
think
he interrupts himself.
I think that you hit on the.
I really like when Paul does play-by-play. That for a game that people, by the way, don't know which game just
right,
popped
no,
up on
no, they have no
oh,
idea.
He was in too.
I do enjoy.
But that. I also say that you. I think that you guys. Not only he was in, I think he had 4 feet.
Holy crap! He's interrupted himself 3 times now.
I do feel like that Andy hits the
I think he was
the
in.
Topic. It's about the amount of games, and I think that they're looking for a way to refund that money. They want to get rid of those preseason games.
So get
somehow.
Rid of them.
But they're not going to just give up the money.
Get rid of them.
Well, it's
you
easy to say.
You can get money from somebody else somehow.
It's easy to say, but they're not going to do it, Andy. They're not going to cost themselves money. It's just like, you know, the other sports.
They're going to cost themselves credibility. That's what they'll cost themselves by letting these crap bum teams in.
The other three major
you
sports.
You taught me the term crap bum team. You taught it to me. You use a different word, and you've used it on the air before, but you taught me that term. And now some of these teams are going to be in the postseason even more often than they already are.
Yeah, but sometimes you can be a team that has a mediocre record, like the Washington Redskins. They're a pretty good football team right now.
Are the Jets a pretty good football team?
No.
We're going to start letting more of those teams in.
The Jets are not.
You know,
the
let's just open it up to everybody. Let's just open it up. I'm telling you, if we're going to do that, I'd rather honestly see them all make it, because now you get the NCAA thing where you could have a 1-15 team that gets hot for some reason, and now you have this underdog run. I'd rather not have all these mediocre teams in. That just, to me, literally ruins the first weekend.
What are all of these mediocre teams?
I don't want a ton of 8-8 teams or 9-7 or even 10-6. I like my postseasons where there's
six?
A lot of
10-6 is 12 not a playoff team in the NFL?
It's close. It's always been right on the fine line. And
but
I like
you don't
the
think
line
a
there.
10-6
you're
team
now
is
moving
worthy?
The line down to 8-8. You're moving the line down in all likelihood
if
in most years. You're moving the line of mediocrity down.
Obviously, if you're adding teams, you're going to
I like my line where 10-6, a 10-win team is right on the line, and I know that there's going to be a few, you know, the 12-4s, those are legitimate playoff teams. Now, if you're 8-8, you're every much in it as much as I think it's terrible. I think it devalues the regular season, and it allows more mediocre teams to get hot and play 2 or 3 good games, win Super Bowls, and I'm totally against it. I've told you this all year long. I like when champions are true champions. When they're 12, 13, 14 game winners, you know they're the best all year long.
Do you like college football?
The
format.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a 4-team playoff. Wait, which one? The new one that's coming.
Whatever they're going to, sure.
Yeah, but they're going to 4, and then they might go to 8. And even in college football, I think you could argue there's more good teams potentially. You know, there's more teams because it's so spread out in different conferences. Mm-hmm. You get the, well, they're really good in their conference, but they wouldn't do crap in the SEC. Okay, well, maybe we give a few. These teams all play in the NFL. So they all play similar competition. So I think it's a little different there, but I don't think, I mean, they're not going to go to a 32-team. I mean, if the NFL goes to 16 teams, half the league, you know, in college football, that would be like 53 teams making the playoffs.
The college doesn't work, the analogy, because there's too many teams. And there's enough good teams. But Andy's argument is that he doesn't want...
You like importance on the regular
season. I think you're going towards what we have in college football now, where you have all these teams that have 6 wins, 7 wins, whatever that cutoff is, playing in bowl games. And you're trying to sell me on that's a real postseason game.
You go to
game.
The St. Pete Beef
right.
O'Brady
That's
bowl,
what you're
going
to have.
Yeah.
The St. Pete Beef O'Brady first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, no, and I get that argument. Andy's right about... You know, you're definitely, if you expand the playoffs, you're inviting in a team that is closer to mediocre than they are championship caliber. I just wanted, and if the solution is to eliminate the bye is to eliminate two playoff teams, I'm all for that too. But that's I think we all know that's not going to happen. It's unrealistic.
The flip side of the mediocre argument is there are years when the Patriots won 11 games without Brady where that team sneaks in. So, I mean, you know, I don't know that you're going to have as many 7-win teams or 8-win teams. You could have
more. It's probably
going to
be equal. There's probably going to be teams that, you know, the extra team that gets in was 9-7 or 10-6. And then there's going to be other teams, you know, that are going to be 8-8
yep.
that are going to get in. And Andy and the majority of people will be upset about that. I think that's a worthwhile sort of submission to eliminate the bye. But not a lot of people agree with me. They like the byes.
Ben had another thought Dover on this game. They're coming off an emotional win, he writes. The
body shot stunned him there.
On a short week against an elite defense with a pass rush, still no Gronk, and a Band-Aid offensive line. This game scares me more than last week's. And again, that's just a concluding thought from Ben. Nick wants to play over-unders. How do you guys feel about that?
Love it.
Love it.
All right. Much more nervous about this game, says Nick, than last week. I think the Niners are a much better team than the Texans. I believe we all agree with that across the board.
I think the Niners are a much better defense.
Certainly the defense.
I think the defense is.
And the team that showed up last week, if the Niners show up, quote-unquote, they're going to be better than what the Texans did last week, showing up and, you know, having an illegal formation on their first play and basically looking like they didn't deserve to wear the letter jackets that they wore to the stadium.
Mm. Oh, by the way, Pac-Man, Andy and I brought some letter jackets in.
We're going to take a photo. You'll see it on Twitter at some
point.
You guys
each brought your own letter jacket.
Eric brought his. Fred's bringing his wrestling singlet.
Wait. Eric has a Letterman jacket. For what?
That's the...
For what?
Save it for the interview. That was so natural, too. Like, if I said that, it would be, you know, contrived.
Yeah.
You said it so naturally and
that
so organic.
That would be piling on.
Figure skating has Letterman jackets. I didn't know. Anyway, let's do the over-unders here from Nick. Ridley carries over-under 8.
Over.
Seems reasonable. Vereen carries over-under 10.
Under.
Under.
Patriots defensive interceptions, 2.
As opposed to the offensive interceptions?
Well, and opposed to throwing interceptions.
I know.
Yeah.
Under.
How many? 2.
What was it?
2.
Oh, wait a minute. What?
2.
So Brady interceptions or the defense?
No. Patriots defensive interceptions.
Well, it doesn't matter. Under either way.
Yeah.
Brady's not throwing
more than 2 interceptions.
Under.
Under. Okay. Total tight end receptions, rather, 15.
For the Patriots or for all tight ends in the game.
I'm assuming under. The Patriots.
Because, you know, Vernon Davis is pretty good. He could have a big game.
Under.
For the Patriots?
Yeah, 15. In other words,
oh, got way
plus,
under.
Yeah, I think so too.
Manawanui.
I was watching Andy's like little, you know, brain, you know, churn inside that large cavern.
Yeah,
and I was
spit
like,
it out, fat man.
Did I not hear this question right? What is he thinking about?
And this one is relatively simple, I think, unless he's talking about both teams. Maybe this is the issue. Total passing yards 857.
So maybe I'm pretty sure he's talking about both teams.
Well, but my point is, then he's talking about both teams' tight ends. 15.
I am going to take the over on the both teams' tight ends.
I'm still going to take the under.
An 857 passing yards, it seems high.
I'm going to take the under.
I will take the under, too.
It's 425 a team.
Seems a little high.
Yeah, and one of those teams is going to throw for about 200 in a perfect case.
Seems a little high.
A little? I mean, I know the Patriots' defense has
Patriots
issues.
Patriots had to put up about 650 for that.
Yes, I would agree.
How much do you see Brady going for? I mean, I know you mentioned, not in your keys, but earlier, the corners are where you attack the Niners. Paul,
and I didn't even know that
you said you could beat
Chris
over the
Culliver
top.
Was the best guy on the team.
Well, you said you have to try to
attack them over the top anyway. So
they
what are we thinking, Culliver corner. What are we thinking for Brady passing yards?
That's not even close to good.
Yeah. But it starts with a C and ends with a ver. Like cover, Culliver.
I didn't get it either. I'm with you on this one, Paul. Yeah.
I think Brady will be phone earlier.
Yeah, it's, when he says it on that far recover.
Brady will be between 250 and 300.
Yeah,
I think.
I agree. And just
look,
over 250.
Look, last week Brady threw for less than 300, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, 296.
Right? But my
I was like, I'm pretty sure it was in like
okay. But
single
my
digits.
But my point is, so it was. But you look at
you're
it.
Right. It was a terrible game for him to be the
like
offensive player
like
of the week.
The Bledsoe haters would come out with.
Yeah. But my point is,
Brady
hasn't
hit 300 yards.
You know,
in a couple weeks.
You look at 296, and you go, "All right, well, Brady, you know, has certainly thrown for more." But that's one of those games where he's in complete control, tempo-wise, and all of these other things
right.
that we're used to seeing from Brady. Maybe we didn't see it 2 weeks ago necessarily against Miami. Do we see tempo-wise, and I guess from a game management standpoint from Brady, do we see something similar tonight against a more difficult defense?
No, I mean I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to control this game offensively. They can win it. They can make plays. But I don't think they're going to reach a point, and maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm overrating the Niners' defense. I don't think there's ever going to be a point where they're just doing what they want to do. I think they are going to have their balls to the wall trying to win the football game and really scratch everything they can out basically for four quarters. I think this is a battle. I think this is a fight. You know, the old adage, the heavyweight fight. Well, you know, the first four rounds might go to one team, the next four might go to another, and then we're getting to the end of the fight where it's not cut in time and somebody's going to win the game.
I sort of agree with that. I feel like San Francisco's defense will make its share of plays, and the Patriots are going to have to counter with some plays, and I think it's going to be up to the Patriots' defense to make sure that the Niners don't do anything out of character offensively. Because I think if the Niners are able to be substantially above what they normally do offensively, Patriots will have a very hard time winning this game. I don't think that's going to happen.
Like LaMichael James, he could be a wild card.
Exactly.
He could be a guy, you know, we saw last week that one play where Mayo comes out of the backfield and Justin Forsett's like, whoop! And Mayo's like, whoa, he's faster than I thought. LaMichael James is a guy that two plays, he catches you off guard like that, one to Ninkovich, one to Mayo, one to Spikes, whatever. You know, those could be 40, 50-yard runs that could swing a drive, swing a game, swing a momentum.
While we're on some of the Niners personnel, you mentioned LaMichael James. Randy Moss in a more elevated role due to some injuries at wide receiver for the Niners. What's his impact tonight?
I think it'll be minimal. I mean, I know Bill kind of praised him and said he can still run through a defense and he still sees it. I don't really see it.
I'd be shocked if he had a big impact on this game. And even, you know, like last week we talked a lot about Stallworth and we said, you know, he's not a guy that's going to get you, you know, six catches for a $125, but he might get you 2 for 70. And then sure enough, he did. He got you 1 for 63 and a touchdown. I don't think Moss is even capable of that. He might make a catch or two, but I don't think he's going to get behind the defense to make a big play. Just don't. I think it's Crabtree. I think it's Vernon Davis in the passing game. Big loss for them is losing Manningham because I think he's a guy who obviously knows how to play against the Patriots,
yep.
as we unfortunately found out last February. I just don't see Randy Moss as being the guy. Now, he didn't do anything when he came back here with Minnesota, you know, shortly after they dealt him. You remember back in 2010?
Came back and did.
Nothing.
Squat. Yeah.
So I don't think he'll do anything today either.
Checking the emails, webradiopatriots.com is where Dan writes in. Paul and the Richard, another big challenge. I'd say the Patriots will meet that challenge. And
I don't appreciate that.
Beat the Niners. They're playing more like a champion of late, and that's what champions do, meet the challenge. 31-17 is my prediction. One question. How many
Who's
sacks?
This from?
Dan? The Byman? The B.I. man?
Byman.
Dan the
we
Byman.
We know it's Byman.
Gotcha.
That's why he knows about dicks.
One question, though. How many sacks will the Patriots surrender?
Speaking of sacks.
Two is my
surrender?
Guess. Yes. Allow.
I'm going to take over on that.
I love dicks.
I'm going to take over, and that will be the key stat of the game, is the 49ers are 13-0 with three or more sacks in the last two seasons.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that
I'll tell you later.
Get broken tonight.
So you're saying it's over, and you're saying that
I don't know. You're
going to
ever ask me for my prediction? I know you didn't bring your six-pack today. You're all sad that you didn't have a six-pack for 2 weeks in a row.
No,
how about the fact that we didn't give predictions at all last week?
Yeah, well, we'll make sure we get those in after we
and
talk
this guy. This guy's a good enough host to get a real gig on a real radio station, the flagship.
I can't crack the lineup,
He forgot to ask for a prediction.
I can't crack the lineup, but this guy can.
Yep.
But this guy's making six figures to go over to a big station.
No, look, 13 out of 14 weeks, we get the prediction.
Six?
13 out of 14, we get the prediction, and, you know, we miss one.
You know, the biggest game of the year up until now, and we just skipped it.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, what are your thoughts for the game tonight?
Hey, you have respect with Melvin.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
He played at the University of Tennessee.
With Mayo.
With Foster, with Mayo.
Foster.
He was legit.
Yeah.
Too legit to quit.
Not only that, I know Harrison is over there for the 49ers, so... They're running around These balls are everywhere. So
a lot of balls made the NFL. What are you doing these days,
Melvin? And I'm just in PT school. How about that?
Hey, that's good.
I missed an ACL while I was playing, so I tore my ACL, so it
kind of like you, Andy.
So now you're going to figure out how to fix other people's.
Right. Maybe I can get a job for the Jets, something like that, and screw them all the way up.
From the inside, I'll get them.
I would get a good team that's more of a threat. You know, I don't have to worry about the Jets.
Yeah. Well, I can keep us on top of this division for a while. If not, after that, I'll go somewhere to Buffalo, Miami, or whoever else needs to be screwed up.
I think you go to Houston and say, this elbow thing, JJ, you might not be able to move your arm again if you play against the Patriots.
Call it a career.
Yeah, that'll work. But the only thing I guess I'd say, I'm kind of still on the same boat from last week as far as winning the battle in the trenches. I think you could beat them up off the line, which will be harder, I think, than last week. Just as, you know, both Smiths are, you know, just as much of a challenge. But I really don't expect the Niners. Well, I feel like as far as the Patriots go, if you get up by two possessions, I really don't think they can really come back from that. And going back from recent memory, have they come back from any, like, to like a 10-point or 14-point deficit that I can remember? I know they haven't played too many high-powered offenses, maybe the Saints, the Packers, I remember, but they kind of controlled the Packers. But have they done that? Can you all remember?
I can't remember them coming back from big deficits, but I totally agree with you. If the Patriots get a 2-score lead tonight, I think it'll be game, set, match.
I agree.
And that's similar to how we felt about the Texans. I think that's what you're alluding to, Mel.
Right. I just thought that even with the Texans, even when we had 14, I was like, well, let me keep watching. There's a slight of a chance. I think they're just going to start, even though I said Schaub can't throw, which he can't throw today either. I knew that. But I think that they have the maybe receivers and tight end and the offense 2-1 that possibly could do it on this day. I really don't think the Niners can. They want to just run, and they're just going to have a very high school basic kind of offense.
They do. I agree.
Yeah. So I think if you can stall them, I think they'll be done. But the bad thing to say, I don't think too many teams have done that, but, you know, I think that we can. They haven't faced this challenge yet. So we get up maybe, you know, 24-14 or 24-10 or something like that, maybe a turnover here, then I just don't think they have the offensive juice, the powerhouse to come back from that.
All right. Well, Mel, phone call here. And I didn't realize he was a Vol. Didn't realize he played there with
Thanks
Mayo.
For the call, Vol.
Thanks for the call.
Next time he calls, we'll have him sing Rocky Top.
I like it. Your thoughts on his feelings.
Well, I couldn't agree more with the 2-score thing.
I think, I forgot the phrasing he just used, but they haven't faced something like this. I think works both ways. And I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not going to pretend. I do think if, you know, you get a 2-score lead early, that's a tough thing for Colin Kaepernick to have to lead a comeback with that offense. I think that will be a huge challenge, and I think the Patriots will probably win that football game. But, you know, the same, what happens if the Patriots bog down? You know, they had 4 straight punts in the middle of the game last week when you're up 21-0. What happens when you open the game with 4 straight punts? How do you react to that? Does Brady start to feel the pressure and get frustrated and throw Gatorade bottles, and do things start to unravel a little bit? So I think you can say sort of the same assessment both ways. Who's yelling?
Someone's yelling outside the studio.
I think it's the Sunday Night Crew.
But yeah, I
that's in trouble.
I think this is a huge challenge for both teams, and we'll find out who's there.
See, it's one of those things. We always talk about the other teams not able to play in such and such a style. You know, if it gets high scoring, if the Patriots get a 2-score lead, and I think all of that is 100% true. And the Patriots, more often than not, force the game to be played in that style. But what happens if it's not played in that style? What happens if San Francisco was always able to either be in the lead or be within a score? Then how does the game unfold?
Right.
We'll find out.
All right. Well, we're taking you up to Patriots and Niners. 8:20 Eastern kickoff time here at Gillette Stadium. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. You can get in touch 508-298-0398 or email us webradio@patriots.com. Give us your thoughts here. We're presented by Dunkin' Donuts. Let them make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. You want to weigh in with the Twitter machine over there? Is that what you're looking at me for?
No.
I'll weigh in with one of the dumber plays that I've seen during the course of the day. 3rd and 25 or whatever. Pittsburgh just threw a crossing route to Antonio Brown. In the last minute of the game, he runs out of bounds. You know, 15 yards short of the first down. I'm not saying you should have gotten the first down, but you stay in bounds. You make Dallas take a timeout.
See, it works better when he sits back and he doesn't have to do the play-by-play while he's just talking about the guy
he's
running.
He's better as a color man.
Gotta tell you.
Dumb play.
I've made my fair share of mistakes on play-by-play, Paul. Don't worry.
Well, I never declared a game over before it was, like you.
Well, you have, not on the air.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't do it as a play-by-play guy. And Dallas ran the punt back for a touchdown.
Yeah, if you're watching the Steelers game, thinking about
terrible play-by-play, man.
He came up a little short on returning that.
Came up about 48 yards short.
But certainly Pittsburgh still has a life in that game. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social coming up. We will head up to the press box and get the view from up there from Eric Scalavino. That's next here on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England.
We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paul Perrella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
Andy?
He's not on his game this week.
Yeah, right? Like, it seems
he's
like
off,
there's...
isn't he?
I don't know if it's the intensity of the whistle. Usually there's a little bit more in there, yeah.
Suck it.
Maybe you need one of the Keurigs that we got dropped off. Maybe you need...
It's not set up yet.
You need one
looking
of those
looking forward things. To that next week, though.
Who's setting that thing up, by the way? Whose job is that?
I'm nuts.
Kevin.
That's LePan. That's Collins in there. He's just
when you're the producer of the PFW crew, it's kind of a wide-ranging thing.
Why am I numbnuts?
There's coffee involved. There's lunch involved. There's a variety of things involved.
Yeah.
It's a very lucrative and prideful gig, but
if numbnut in there, we're paying attention.
Let's see.
Little John Dennis-like right there. A lucrative...
All right, so that's we should expect that to be set up for next week.
Sure.
Great, excellent.
Well, the question is where we're going to set it up. We're going to try to hide it so those EEI cows don't break it or steal it.
EEI, check. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots.
You're okay with that. You're a competitor now.
True. Adam Jones.
Screw those bitches.
Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast.
Neither of us pays me.
Inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Taking you up to Patriots and Niners, 8:20 Eastern kickoff time. Let's work our way through some of the emails before we head up to the press box with Eric Scalavino. Vishon from New York writes in, Denver looks scary today, guys, with their complete domination of the Ravens. Would you say that the Broncos and the Patriots are the two best teams in football? Both defenses are clicking, and their offenses are well-coordinated. And just to comment on Andy's comment earlier, I think the Steelers' defense a few years ago was better than this year's Niners. A few years ago is a bit general, but your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't ever remember thinking of them as good as – good, but not great. And maybe part of it is because I think a little bit more of it is scheme-based with Dick Lebeau and the zone blitz and some of that. But I don't know. I think I'm just wowed by the personnel, and maybe I'm just being like a jock-sniffing combine junkie. Here and I just look at like Bowman and Willis and Justin. They just have these big, physical, muscular, fast attacking players. I feel like they're like a walking Under Armour commercial. Like they should all come out with just tight Under Armour. We must broke that this house. Like that's what they embody, in my opinion.
What is that sound effect? What is that?
That's spanking it.
Yeah. Andy looking
hitting the microphone, Andy's, as it were. Yeah.
Andy's looking longingly at the defensive
muscles.
Members of the San Francisco 49ers.
Gotcha.
See what you did there, the defensive members.
Thank you very much.
Your thoughts, Patriots and Denver, though.
Andy's, no, never mind.
Two best teams in football?
Patriots and Broncos?
Was
no.
Vishon's question.
I think the Patriots are certainly in that mix. I'm not ready to put Denver there, though.
That's how I would view it as well.
Well, I have to be careful here. I don't really put Denver there, but I'm also a big believer of taking care of business. And when you win a lot of games in a row and coming down the stretch, you're winning and going on the road. And I don't care what you say about the.
Yeah.
I got to give them credit for doing what you're supposed to do.
And most of those have not been nail biters.
No.
You know, they've taken care of business for the most part against teams that they quote unquote should take care of business against.
And more so than like Atlanta and Houston and these other teams. You know, Houston shouldn't have come here and won last week, but they should have come here and competed.
Question. An unnamed Boston media member tweets out the following. No gloves for any of the 49ers quarterbacks. Is that noteworthy or no? In your view?
Only if they normally wear gloves, and I do not have that information.
Does Colin Kaepernick, he looks like a guy that would have big hands. He's pretty long everywhere else. I
Andy,
would think
continuing his longing stares.
You guys
glares.
Make this is a serious question. Brady has big hands, and it's not coincidental that he is one of the best bad weather quarterbacks in the history of the game. If you have small hands, you struggle with wet balls. You need big hands to handle wet balls.
I have struggled with wet balls in my life. That's true.
Why does everybody have to be so immature on this program? I am trying to have a serious discussion.
It is. I learned it from watching you. All right.
It is alternating.
Still competing to get their hands on balls, and right now I'm intrigued by that competition.
It's alternating between heavy downpours and the ball is going to be wet. Correct.
Yeah.
So if you have big hands, it's easier to hold a wet ball. Correct.
I've heard.
I don't know how big Kaepernick's hands are, but he's a tall, long man who looks like he would have big hands.
We'll keep our eyes on the pregame handshake. He and Brady, if they shake hands at any point, we can.
They won't. I'm going to keep an eye on whether the ball slips out of his hands.
Their hands are so long, they can actually shake hands from each other's sideline. They just reach out.
Just reach out. Stick out a paw there.
Well, at least the fingers.
Yeah. People overlook the fact that large hands are a key to a great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, huge hands.
Rondo,
big hands, long fingers.
Yeah.
Pedro Martinez, long fingers. They're all great, correct?
Matt Lepin, huge hands, terrible.
Your hands aren't that big.
Wait. Rondo was great.
No, they're not long enough. You got stubby little chubby hands.
Did he just say Rondo was great?
He did say Rondo was great.
It's called suiting my point.
You don't even believe your own crap.
No, everybody else tells me he's one of the best, you know, two or three players in the NBA, best point guards, best everything, you know, despite the fact that he's not. So I'll just go with the experts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that where he's going?
I just need more data on the big hands theory. That's all.
Get it done. Three across multiple sports.
Three different sports.
One from every sport.
Did not quite hammer that one home.
But all I'm saying is that if Kaepernick wears gloves,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of rain in San Francisco. Uh-huh. I'm sure they've played some sloppy games. If he normally wears gloves and he's deciding not to, then that's interesting. I don't think most quarterbacks wear gloves.
Brady,
I think it's sort of atypical.
Same media member, Brady and Mallett, each wearing a glove on their left hand.
On their left hand?
On their left hand.
Is that like having an earring in your left ear?
So it's cold.
No gloves for the Niners and gloves on the left hands of the Patriots quarterback. Greg Bedard, check. Looking through the emails here.
Wait, we didn't do it. That was you. That was all you.
I was just asking. I asked. I didn't name the media
member. Better be careful. You might want him as a guest on your new show.
I just asked your thoughts.
He used to call the DA show.
I asked for your thoughts.
See if he'll call the Indy Hart show with Adam Jones. That's just a working title. We can kind of, you know, massage it as we go along.
Jay McNulty writes in, there's something I've seen in Brady that no one until this season has ever seen. FU mode after a Super Bowl loss. They need this first round bye at home. It would be huge. No one can match them on their field, and that's why it's theirs. Houston indoors on gross grass. That's what this team specializes in. Seattle, same, mainly weather and construction helps them. I'm buying this year. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Mark my words. Also, the playoff thing is the most foolish thing I've heard since I discovered the Jets and Giants play in New Jersey. Go Pats. And again, that's Jay McNulty writing in. So circling back to that first point, have we never seen Brady in FU mode following a Super Bowl loss? And we know he missed the 2008 season with a knee injury.
So yes, no.
Okay.
I mean, factually, we didn't really see Brady following a Super Bowl loss. Now, I would argue we've seen Brady in FU mode many times over the years. Like going to Pittsburgh, FU mode. You know, rushing touchdown spike. I think you saw it last week. Coming into my house, you overrated defense. FU mode. I think we see Brady at various points in seasons. As competitive as he is, he elevates it to that next level. But, I mean, I don't know. Did anybody think he was in FU mode in week two when he lost at home to the Cardinals?
I did not.
Yeah, so, not, I mean, the seasonal FU mode didn't work that week.
It's going to be just the way it always is, and the teams that play better when it comes time to win. I mean, that's...
That's why I kind of have to go with Patriots and Broncos.
And that's why when you ask me that, you know, the question, I do think the Patriots are one. Right now, I think the Patriots are playing better against better competition than Denver is.
Let me ask you this. I feel this way. Do you think the Patriots right now are the favorites? Through 14 weeks, you know, through what we have of data, do you feel the Patriots are the favorites or should be considered the favorites for the Super Bowl?
Yes.
See, I do as well. And so, I mean, by that definition, I think the Patriots have to be in the top two.
Of course, if you ask me that question on your little Sun Life post-game show, I might feel differently.
Well, no, look, I mean, if we have
more... Wait, what did you say? The Patriots right now are what?
I think they have to be considered the favorite to win the Super Bowl, no?
No, I don't think so.
So who is?
I don't know, but I don't know.
If you have to have a favorite, who would it be? If I make you pick a favorite...
We have to pin you down to one, who would you go with? That's the favorite, in your mind.
I think whoever comes out of the NFC is a favorite. I think the NFC is better than the AFC.
So if the Falcons, Patriots, and the Super Bowl, you'll be picking the Falcons?
No, you just caught me there. Falcons would not, but I don't think the Falcons have a chance to come out of the NFC.
I'll tell you what, there's
a team that might not even make the playoffs that I would favor over the Patriots, and that's the Giants.
Yeah,
sure.
That's a fair point. Fair point. Anyway, I feel that way. I would be more skeptical of the Broncos in that scenario that Vashon presented to us. By the way, we do have our winner for our Bose SIE2
yeah, Bose.
Sport headphone giveaway. It is Matt from Hartford, Connecticut, who takes those home. Just a couple more weeks of that giveaway here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. And right now, as we do during each and every pregame show, let's head up to the press box and check in with Eric Scalavino.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, Eric, joining us leading up to Patriots and Niners here in Foxborough. Big question on all of our minds down in the bowels of the stadium. What's the weather like out there, Eric?
It's alternating between downpour and kind of a light rain, and right now we're in the downpour stage as the players, most of them, have taken to the field for warm-ups.
Are you
so it looks like it's going to be like this all night.
Are you seeing any indications of the wet balls being an issue, especially for, we're questioning, we've seen some tweets about Colin Kaepernick not wearing a glove, blah, 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 blah. Have you seen anybody throwing a football, and does the wet ball seem to be an issue?
The wet ball does seem to be a bit of an issue right now, guys. The quarterbacks for the 49ers are throwing down at the end where the press box is here. Neither of them
without their gloves
is wearing a glove. And as I say that, a ball just goes through Randy Moss's hands, but one of the Niners receivers, Garrett Selleck. Sorry, and it's been like that for most of the evening. Returning kicks, punts, another issue there with the wet ball and the wet field. It's going to be a challenge tonight for the passing game and for the kicking game, I think.
One of the challenges the Patriots will face as an offensive line is dealing with a physical front while being banged up. Have you gotten any indication of sort of the health status of the various injured members of that offensive line?
Well, the only one that I saw out here for warm-ups, right now that the whole team is coming out and doing the team stretching period here, but earlier... Nate Solder was out here working out. Assistant strength coach Moses Cabrera was out there with him, but not really hovering over him as he would maybe a guy who was really a game-time decision. And Solder was going through his normal routine. He's one of those guys who comes out here early for pretty much every game and does his own little thing, and he was doing the same sort of thing today. And Moses was just sort of on the periphery, not really, you know, keeping a close eye on him. And then Solder left the field without, you know, having any discussions with him. So that was a good sign. Obviously, he's active tonight. He didn't seem to be inhibited in any way. The rest of the O-line, really haven't seen them yet. Like I said, all the players are just coming out now to stretch as a team. And hopefully in about 5 minutes, we'll get to see the teamwork period and get some indication then as to what the O-line's going to look like tonight.
I saw your tweet, and a couple guys who haven't been returning punts of late joined Wes Welker in pregame warmups. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, Deion Branch just getting signed this week. It's something we have seen him do sort of, not really seriously, but we've seen him do it like in training camp or mini camps and some, you know, in the past, but never really anything in even a game type situation before. And for him to come back after having been out for a month with this hamstring injury and to be thrust into that role, a little surprising. But then again, last week, you know, you don't really want to have what we saw last week with Aaron Hernandez getting back there. He's too valuable for the offense. And Patrick Chung, who really hasn't been playing a whole lot on defense, so if he's going to have a role maybe as a, you know, a special teamer, that might be one way to get him out there on the field, especially tonight with conditions being what they are. You might not want to subject Welker to that type of thing either. And he's going to be your number one guy, it looks like. I mean, he's taking all the first reps as he was last week. And it's interesting who they're going to put out there tonight, you know, given what the elements are like.
Eric, what have you, you know, we talked a little bit about the wet ball, but just in terms of the eyeball test early on Colin Kaepernick, first of all, and I know this is hard to tell from about, you know, 150 yards away, does he have large hands?
he doesn't seem to have a problem ripping the ball.
Okay, I mean that was a serious question. I mean, these guys tried to make it immature down here, but
I
told them, Tom Brady has very large hands with long fingers and just happens to be a great bad weather quarterback. Generally, guys with small hands like Steve McNair would struggle and put the ball on the ground a lot.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look like Kaepernick had a problem with the ball. He actually throws a pretty decent spiral, pretty good ball. And he's pretty quick. They were doing sort of a hurry-up simulation about, I'd say, maybe an hour and a half ago when he came out here without pads or anything. Just had a receiver with him, and they were, you know, simulating a snap and running and trying to hurry up to the next spot. That was the only time he really, you know, ran at all, and he looked pretty quick and was throwing the ball with, seeming ease, I would say. Didn't seem like there was any sort of issue. And again, that was in a part of the night too when it wasn't raining that hard either. So haven't really gotten to see him all that much throwing the ball in the really downpour conditions, which it is actually doing right now. And Alex Smith is taking the snaps as we speak.
All right, Eric, before we let you go, and just in case some of the listeners to the Patriots pregame social don't also listen to PFW in Progress during the week and you want to irritate a few more people, why don't you give them your prediction for the game?
I think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring game, no touchdowns for either side, 18-15, Niners, all field goals.
Wow. Now, outside of
Can
that prediction.
To sleep now?
Outside of that prediction, Eric, there's
that
also.
That sounds like a lot of paragraphs for how they scored. That's not what I'm looking for.
Now, there's also a buzz around here that you're going to be bringing in a Letterman jacket shortly. Is that correct?
Well, I already have mine. I brought mine in, and Paul brought his in. The person who came up with the bright idea forgot to bring his in.
Because the person who came up with the bright idea has a bad memory and is a moron.
You get no argument from me on that. Yeah, we're going to be doing that on Wednesday.
I just want to let you know.
Is that a shot at me?
Adam's response when I said Eric brought his in.
Yeah, what sport?
No. That was not your response.
Yeah.
Your response was, Eric has a letter jacket?
Yeah, what sport?
Question mark, Ron Burgundy with tone?
What sport, Eric?
That's okay. No, don't worry, boy. Don't worry, Adam. I'll kick your ass later.
Oh!
But seriously, though, what sport?
All right, I got to go now, guys.
All right.
See you, the kicker.
All right.
We call him the kicker. He was a backup third-string kicker at BU.
In college? Didn't even know that.
Yeah, his Letterman jacket is from high school.
St. Paul's Girls Academy.
Uh-huh. What did he play there? Did he kick there?
Kicker.
What did you think?
He played middle linebacker.
He weighs 142 pounds.
Why, of course, that's why I asked the question. I have no idea. I asked the question.
Plenty of people play in high school that don't look necessarily like they're athletes. Yeah, I mean, Paul was a two-sport athlete.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah, but you look like you could be a lineman, Paul said.
No, I mean, you look like you played football in high school. LePan's pointing to himself.
Did you play no sports?
No, I played basketball in high school, but I grew up in Vermont. So
he's
this,
got game.
This
you know
like,
what he
this
does?
Is like this is like a basketball height.
He talks trash. That's all he does.
You can ask Kevin Collins. A lot of trash talk coming from Jones.
I don't want to worry you, but you haven't asked me for a prediction yet.
That's why they call him MF
Jones. We're getting strangely close.
We'll squeeze in a phone call, and then we'll get the prediction. Let's check in with our buddy Chester in Portland. What are your thoughts on the game tonight, Chester?
Boy, first of all, what a shocker to hear Eric get excited over big hands of wet balls.
And no touchdowns, by the way. He was excited about that, too.
Got to go, guys. Anyway, I think we're going to see more points than what Mr. Scalavino's led on to be to believe here. Keys of the game here, Gerard Mayo. I have a feeling we're going to be calling him 007 after all the spying he's going to be doing tonight on Kaepernick. My thought being is that, you know, we see Mayo a lot guarding that Kaepernick run risk and keep spikes on Gore and, you know, keep him up in the middle to jam up with Vince there in the middle. As far as offense goes, just thinking about this, you know, seems to me like that middle of the field is going to be fairly limited. So I'm seeing some seam routes, Hernandez and, seeing a lot of that going. You know, as far as offsetting this defense of the 49ers, I'm going to sneak in a pick and thinking that Brandon Bolden is going to be a factor here. And the reason being is, you know, I think it's going to, first of all, keep those linebackers in, you know, thinking that there's going to be a power look there. And, I think he has some fair versatility, just being where, you know, you can motion him outward. I think that's going to be key to keeping guys there and allowing us to get a little bit more outside. I got a feeling, you know, we break out a little bit early here. We can get a little ball control. I just don't think the 49ers have the manpower to really, you know, keep the pace on their end. And I alluded earlier, I don't think a quarterback like Kaepernick is going to have the wits to really keep it together for four quarters on the road at Gillette. Our crowd's really got to be a factor here. And I just keep drawing references to the Seattle game in terms of what we might be seeing, on defense and how that can slow us down. And I don't know, I think that's leading everybody to believe that this is going to be a lower scoring affair. But, I think Mayo is going to be the man. And after seeing him last week, you know, we've turning to be that player that we've all been looking to see, you know, aside from being that tackling machine. I'm pumped. I'm fired up. I'm rushing home from work here, and let's hope for a win. I really want to get that first round bye, but I don't think it's the end of the world either way.
All right. All right, Chester.
Take care, fellas.
Love the emotion.
Thanks, Chester. We appreciate the phone call, Chester.
I wish I could rush home from work and watch the game, too. We
just heard his prediction. What are your guys' predictions for the game tonight?
I think it's going to be a physical battle. And I think, as I said, the key is the trenches, and I'm concerned about the trenches. And I also am concerned about the wet ball and the Patriots' two top targets. Paul and I joke about it. Occasionally, Wes Welker carries it like a loaf of bread because I don't believe he has long enough forearms to properly secure the ball away. And Aaron Hernandez fancies himself a young Deion Sanders and likes to run around with it in his hands. A wet ball with those two guys, plus a hard-hitting defense with safeties and linebackers, could equal turnovers in terms of the fumble, not the interceptions. They're going to catch a lot of balls, have a lot of chances to get hit. And the pass rush, I am concerned that the Justin Smith-Alden Smith tandem, regardless of who's more important, Paul Perillo, is going to give the left side of the Patriots banged-up offensive line issues. Brady gets banged around. 21-18 San Francisco. I'm sorry to say it, Patriots fans, I don't take joy in it like Eric does when I pick the other team winning.
21-18 Sam Fran, he says.
Yeah, I see a lot of the stuff that Andy's talking about in terms of the physicality of the San Francisco defense. I respect it. I think it's the best defense the Patriots will face this season, and I think that they will keep the points down a little bit. But I'm with most of the callers tonight that have called in. I just don't see San Francisco keeping up, and they're not going to win the game 13-10. You know, that's just not going to happen. They're not going to keep them that far down. So I think San Francisco's going to need to get around 25, and I don't think they can do it. 27-10 Patriots. 27-20 Patriots.
All right. Well, I'm going to have.
He's got a tight blowout.
You don't want to go. Well, he doesn't want to go over, right? You didn't want to go over.
Well,
that
was
my
pick.
Number.
That was the pick that I used on Tuesday.
I'm going 24-14 Pats. I don't think the Niners are going to be able to score, and we'll see.
That's how I feel.
I like the Kaepernick idea, and I do think it's the right move at quarterback. I do think the Patriots' defense is playing well,
much better.
And I just think the way they've been playing in general, I think they're going to win, maybe not comfortably. Maybe they add on a cosmetic field goal or something like that at the end of the game. But let's go 24-14.
Cosmetic. I like that term.
Yeah, it's a good
Why
term.
Is it that every time someone uses a word that's a little outside the box, you get all a flutter?
Brass tacks?
Crescendo?
Crescendo?
Let's get down to brass tacks. They're going to tack on a cosmetic field goal with brass
there
tack.
You go.
I see what you did there.
Eric Scalavino.
That's why you're making six figures now at the mothership.
Eric Scalavino knows all about Eric Scalavino knows all about the cosmetic field goals. Anyway, those are our thoughts on the game tonight. Patriots and Niners. 8:20 kickoff time here in Foxborough.
Enjoy the game.
Donuts Patriots pregame social, and I will talk to you after on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. I got to work.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the San Francisco 49ers.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks, he fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40. Stay up. Feet all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.